Hey, y'all. We're back. I've got some catching up to do with some of these podcasts, so I apologize. I have a great interview today with Keith Stinnett over at the Chicken Farm. Met him up at the studio, and I was excited to meet with Keith because I've known Keith since he started coming into the art community, and he came to the Art Alliance meetings very early on last year. I met with his family to help him with the business and get things started up. And then I started seeing him at, like, you know, Donata. And then, you know, he was in a couple art shows. And he's really done a good job of figuring out how to get his artwork in front of people. And not just because it was important for his art business, but because I think people really needed to see his artwork. You know, him, he's shown up in almost every show that I've seen open to the local art community. And that says a lot about Keith. The rest of what I wanted to know is in this interview. He won some awards last year. He's won an award this year at the Stars Over Texas show, which is a difficult show to get into and even more difficult to win. But he got first. He got the Juror's Prize. I mean, that's amazing. So I asked some very good questions, and Keith is pure wisdom. You're going to want to get at least sit down and listen to this diligently, and then maybe get a notepad out, because he does have some good information that he communicates. But one of the last things he talks about at the end of the interview was kind of unexpected, and it was really, really good. It's some of the best advice I've ever heard. So, Keith, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Loved having you on. Great information. You're a phenomenal artist. You're a true, true artist that just likes to make. So enjoy the interview.
You can edit all this if you want to.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, okay. I can edit it. But don't worry, I usually don't.
If I say it sounds stupid.
No, it's great. It's great. I think the more honest and earnest it is, the better.
Yeah. Shoot, my wife has asked me, you know, what are you going to say? I said, I have no idea. It's a blank slate.
That's great. I like a blank slate. One of the things I was thinking about when I was driving up here was I was thinking about a few things. I know you knew Roger Allen for many years, right? Tell me about how you got to know. How did you first meet Roger?
I just met him out at the Chicken Farm.
In the Chicken Farm.
And, you know, I didn't know him real well, but just every time I'd come out here, and he was a real talkative guy.
And he knew that you painted?
No. Yeah, I didn't really paint that much for the last 30 years. I was on the fire department.
Right.
And I made a lot of art there.
Here in town, you're in the fire department?
Uh-huh, here in San Antonio.
For 30 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I retired 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
And that's when I really started painting again.
Okay.
Full time.
Okay. What was your, are you self-taught? Or
no, I went to UT.
Okay.
Back in 78, my wife and I both went to UT, and she was getting a degree, and I thought, well, heck, if you're going, I'm going to go.
And that's,
so
that's great.
I started the art department, and it was really cool. I loved all that. 78 to 83, I think I graduated.
It was with a degree in art?
Yeah, BFA.
BFA, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sophomore was 3 of the best years of my life.
Yeah, you loved it.
Yeah,
I'll bet it was great at UT in those years.
Oh yeah,
it was amazing.
Nice. It was nice. The Armadillo was still up, and
wow,
it was a pretty cool place. And it still is downtown.
Yeah. Tell me about, you know, what were some of your bigger influences in terms of, you know, your you know, just the kind of style that you paint in. Like, who were some artists that when you were in school that really kind of you really enjoyed looking at their artwork or studying their work?
All the Impressionists, you know, especially Van Gogh.
Loved them.
And, there was a group out of Chicago back in the 80s called the Harry Who.
Oh.
And it was a group of 6 or 8 artists, and they painted, it was like Impressionism and graphic design mixed together.
Oh.
There's a lot of decorative elements in it.
Highly detailed.
Yeah, highly detailed.
You like that?
Yes, I like the way it looks. I don't like doing it, but I like the way it looks. It's like, oh my God, it takes forever.
Where do you, you know, where is that the most recent inspiration you have is those that group?
When I got back into painting a few years ago, I started looking up painters that I like. John Nieto, love that guy. And there's another artist named Jeff Ham, just Ham, I believe. And he's paints really cool stuff. And he painted for quite a few years, and now he's just kind of fallen off the. I think he just quit for a while. Erin Hansen, that girl I was talking about, she's a really good impressionist painter. Neo-impressionism, she calls it. She's got galleries, four or five galleries all over the nation now, that she owns and has her stuff in there. Of course, every time we go to Santa Fe,
All the
walk
artists
around
are
the, yeah, I walk
there.
around those galleries. And, oh my God,
It's
it's just,
insane. It's
yeah.
insane. It's overwhelming.
If you walk down Canyon Road, that whole road, and go in every gallery, you're just exhausted by the time you're done.
Yeah, your eyes are tired too,
Yeah.
'cause you're studying all the art and you're like really paying attention. It's like watching a movie for like 3 or 4 hours, you know, you get tired. Yeah, I can understand that. I found a John Nieto at a consignment shop. You know, there was one of those stores where it's like the leftovers after what do you call it? Where you go in the house and you
Oh, an estate
an
sale.
estate sale, sorry. And so it was a lot of leftover stuff from there, and they had some decent artwork. And I saw this green painting on a piece of wood that was real smooth. It was really sanded down. And in the middle was a ceramic piece of a Native American. But it was really well done. I thought it was really interesting. And there was some red painted on the wood. The wood was green. And so I was like, I think I'll buy that. It was like 50, 70 bucks, something like that. And when I got home, it was an original John Nieto. I turned it around. I said, oh, look at that. I was like, I didn't know the artist at the time, so I looked him up. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, he's got some good stuff. But he doesn't do a lot of ceramics. So I was like, this must be really interesting to have a ceramic piece.
Yeah, I didn't know he even did ceramics.
I couldn't find really many. I didn't think he did many ceramics, at least not on a painting. So yeah, I have that in my
What a
office.
find.
What a find, man. What a find. After you started painting more, after your retirement, it was mostly just for you, wasn't it? Or did you have any other intention?
I just wanted to make stuff. And of course our house got, completely full of stuff, and I gave away to family and friends, all kinds of stuff. And finally my daughter and my wife talked me into coming out here to the chicken farm. It was probably 2 years ago. We came out and started doing first Saturdays, just set up a tent, and we just had a few paintings and some, I didn't even have prints then. And I didn't think it was that big a deal, but people bought us out. I sold everything. I said, wow, people like this stuff. So then, we got the studio, and by selling prints and stuff, we make our rent, just selling prints. So then if I sell an original, then that's gravy money.
Whenever you made that transition, I remember when you all had the setup here, and you came to my office. You guys came to my office. Well, your wife and your daughter came to my office first, and then I met you later. What was that like to go from? Because I remember when I had to do it, and I went from just painting to now really trying to sell and create a website and all that stuff. Was it difficult for you to have to do some of that while at the same time now really have to get after the painting? Was it hard for you to make that transition?
Not really, because my wife and my daughter carried most of that weight.
You were just like, get on the
Yeah,
canvas.
they told me, you just produce and we'll take care of the rest of it.
That's
And
great.
to this day, I don't know how to do the Venmo and
You just paint.
PayPal. And she said, well, what are you going to do when I'm not here for some reason? And, well, I guess I'll figure it out, but selling it doesn't really appeal to me that much. I'm retired and got a pension, so I don't have to have the money. I've got enough for bread and butter, and I just want to make stuff and that's a good place to be.
Yeah, I think mentally that's a lot easier than having to depend on it,
Yeah.
and it's sink or swim.
I've got some friends who are artists that's the way they make their living. And that's really a bold move to me, because you've got to get out and produce,
You do.
and you got to produce stuff that people will buy.
Yeah.
And I don't even like thinking that way.
Yeah.
I don't really care if somebody buys it or not. I'm just going to make it what I want to make. Which is still, when somebody comes in, and especially when they buy an original, that's a few $100, some of them up over $1,000. And that's a lot of money to me. It just amazes me when somebody buys a painting. I'm just blown away. I really, you want this? Why?
Because it's good. Because it's
Yeah.
good. Because it's good. I think my theory is that if artists can get to a place where they just don't think so much about the selling, at least not while they're painting,
Yeah.
I think they'll have a better chance of selling because the work will be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And it always seems to me the best paintings I do are stuff that comes out of me.
Yeah.
It has to have a meaning for me to end up making a good painting.
Is it usually a story, or is it like a moment in your life or a memory?
It's
Like, where does it usually come from?
usually a story or a memory, like this blue bonnets and Indian blankets. We lived in the hill country for nearly 10 years and always loved that. But when a lady wanted a picture of flowers, I was thinking, well, that doesn't really hold any interest to me. But then I started thinking about it and thinking about the hill country and driving around there, and I said, well, I can make this work. And then it turned out okay.
It turned out really good. It's really good, Keith. That's an amazing piece. And it's kind of like, you had one that you did for the Bloom show. Did that one sell?
Oh yeah, the original sold.
Yeah.
I've got a print of it over there, but
That one, yeah, there it is over there. That one is also an amazing to me. It's like it's got the same sort of feeling as this one that you just finished up. They're both really, really good. In that sense, all your work is great. Speaking of which, you kind of been on a roll. Like you last year, you were in the Dia de los Muertos
oh yeah.
show. You got third place there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you also got Artist of the Quarter.
Yes, I did. Art and Alliance helped set
Yeah, Artist of the
that
Quarter. So you got that, and then you rolled into this year for the Stars Over Texas.
Oh yeah, the Brownwood
The
engine.
Brownwood
Yeah.
Show, and you got the Jurors Award
Yeah.
for that.
That was amazing. And I didn't even think I would get in. But there was an opening in January for an artist at the Brownwood Art Center. And they asked if I would put some paintings in there. I said, sure. And January's a dead month for us anyway. So took some paintings over there. And everybody over there said, you've got to enter this Stars of Texas thing. And it was when that show closed, that one opened up the next day. And I said, well, okay, I'll just carry them over there. And they accepted one of them. And I thought, well, that's pretty odd to first time, And then they called and said, you need to show up for this ceremony because we're going to give you an award. And, okay, cool. Yay, I'll take cash awards any day.
Did you ever expect that you were going to be getting this sort of response whenever you first really kind of made your first,
No,
started getting out there and putting on shows and
not really. I didn't. I figured some people would like it and some people wouldn't, but I didn't really care.
does it affect you at all now that you are, you're kind of winning some awards and you're starting to get more recognized? Does it have any impact on the way you create?
Sometimes I would like to get a lot looser in my paintings, but
What do you mean by that?
just freer. And I'll start a painting off fairly free. I'll just put down lots of color. For most paintings I have are three or four layers deep. So I'll put down a lot of color and then I'll tighten it up as I go. And like I said, the last part of the painting is just with a little 1/8-inch brush. I would like to be freer in painting more than that, but I know that people do like the detail. that seems to be what draws people in. Mm-hmm. And so I always end up going back to the detail.
Yeah. Do you ever find some time to experiment like that, to do something a little bit more free? Or are you still focused on making sure you have enough inventory and putting out work and doing commissions? You know, are you busy with that, with commissions?
I just finished a commission over here, and that's the only one I've got right now.
Oh, okay.
And I don't mind doing commissions. It's a problem to solve, but it's not my favorite thing to do.
Because it's not your story.
Yeah, it's not my story.
It's not your memory.
And if I can put myself into it, then it's a lot more fun.
Right, right. So then what's your schedule like for making art? Do you have a schedule, or how often do you get in the studio?
And usually, and I paint it at home in the barn. And I usually get out there by 9 o'clock in the morning and paint till about noon. Come in, have some lunch, take a little 30-minute nap, and go back out from 1 to 5, you know. So it's about 6 hours a day.
So it's a pretty decent work day.
Yeah.
In traditional senses.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday, or one, you know.
Usually Monday through Friday.
Wow.
It's according to what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're working on a few pieces now, or do you work simultaneously with work, or do you work, you know, one piece at a time?
One piece at a time.
Okay.
I'm working on one now of I'd seen a picture of a huge wave that had the setting sun behind it, and I thought, that's really cool. And my Bare Necessities picture is one in Brownwood, and I really liked the way the water flowed in that, and I want to do more water. So I saw that wave, and I thought, well, I could do that water. And about 15 years ago, my wife was washed off a rock in Maine by a rogue wave.
Oh, wow.
And it banged her up. It busted her knee, broke her back.
Oh, my God.
And I was hanging on. It didn't wash me off. I was up a little higher than she was. But ever since then, I said, I've got to paint a picture of that. So I saw that wave. So I got a picture of her standing on this rock, like facing this wave. Come on, you know, give me what you got. She survived that, so she can survive anything.
You drawn that?
Yeah, I've got it. I think I just took a picture of what I've completed so far.
Oh yeah, I was about to ask that question next. Is how do you go about drawing it? So did you use as a reference photo? You have her kind of pose, and then, or how do you go about doing your sketch?
And I would look at pictures of women
standing
in the
tall
wind. Yeah, standing tall.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's just like four or five pictures and a little bit of her, just kind of all morphed together.
This is going to be a good painting.
It'll be cool.
Oh, it's going to be
excited.
It's going to be a good painting. Really, really good. I just started getting back into drawing recently with charcoal.
I saw some of those.
And it's really challenging. I'm the same like you. I don't like the details.
Yeah.
They used to really bother me. So I was very impressionistic. But I was wanting to really kind of hone my skills a bit. So I went back to charcoal on paper. And I'm working on a big drawing right now from a picture I took in Mexico.
Yeah.
That was really... So I like those personal, I think, memories or pictures or experiences tend to go... I think a little bit deeper when people look at it.
Yeah.
You find somebody specific that really relates to it, and they understand. Like if somebody from this landscape that you just, if they're familiar with that area, they're going to be right in that painting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really cool. So I was really good. I was asking if how do you sketch these out before you?
Yeah, usually especially if it's a big one, I'll sketch it out on say a 12 by 12 just piece of paper and get the composition down like I want it, sketch it out first, and then if I like what I drew on paper, then I'll transfer it to the canvas. And I usually just start off with pencil and sketch it out on the canvas first, and then start throwing the color on it.
Wow. Now that you've kind of been, you know, you got some good momentum going, your gallery's pretty much full, your studio is full here.
So far.
Yeah. You've been at it. You've been really, really at it. Are there any things that you're kind of looking forward to do this year? Are you looking at anything major, or you're just still putting out the kind of work that you like putting out?
Just making stuff is all I want to do. And there's some shows around it that my wife wants to go to, and that's kind of a pain to set up the take all your stuff and set
Right.
up the tent and put it all up. But she's a little more business oriented
So she's got
than
other plans
me. Yeah, she's
for
got other plans.
you.
That we shared a studio with Jeremy Cerna for a while,
Oh, that's right, yeah.
and he's on the circuit now. He went to Colorado and Arizona, New Mexico, and he said in a month, 6 weeks, he made more than he could possibly make all year, just by doing that, especially in the summertime when people are out buying art.
Yeah.
And so he said, if I can spend 2 to 3 months up there in the nice part of the weather, he said, I could paint for 9 months at home.
That's, I've thought about that before, and it makes a lot of sense, because if you take a look at, like, your local area, this is from my experience. I've been, here for 13 years now, most of it painting, and selling my work. You get to a point where eventually most people either have a print or
You've
original.
saturated the
You
market,
kind of saturated it,
yeah.
and it's, at that point you really have to change things up if things are going to continue on in that area.
Right.
You have to be different. You have to try different things, and change it so people don't get too comfortable with
Right.
your work. But I think that going to places where your work is appreciated just the same way when you first started is a smart thing to do, because otherwise you have to get into a gallery there,
Yeah.
or you got to figure a way to, do advertising in that area.
Yeah.
But I think going to these specific areas can be fruitful for artists. It's just a ton of work.
Yeah, it's a pain
It's the
to
setup, and
yeah.
then, getting all the art out and packing it up when you're done, and
And making sure it's all not being hurt
right,
or
not
yeah.
banged up, and then you got to handle the sales, and you got to be there all day,
Yeah.
and then hopefully it sells, and it's,
Yeah.
it doesn't, I don't think it's this is it Jeremy?
Jeremy,
I don't think Jeremy probably hit the ground running as soon as he started. I bet it took him a few
yeah.
years to be
Right.
able to figure out which.
Get a trailer and get a camper
Yep.
and yeah.
Yeah. But it's smart. I just think it takes a lot of work. My
Yeah.
gosh, it takes so much
Yeah.
work.
When you're not really, when you don't have to have the money and don't have to do that, it's sometimes you just say, "Why? I want to just stay home and paint."
Right. Right. Do you guys still go to Fredericksburg?
Yes,
You do?
we go down there all the time, and we're actually looking at perhaps moving to the Hill Country in this year sometime.
Do y'all spend a lot of time out there in
In the
that
Hill
area?
Country,
Yeah. Yeah.
we actually I had it, my wife talked into moving to Ruidoso. I would move there in a heartbeat if I could, because it's got everything, the change of seasons, and it's beautiful weather, beautiful place, stays green all the time. But she doesn't want to be that far away from family,
Oh,
so
sure.
Hill Country might be my next best choice.
Yeah. Are you, what's that little town outside of San Marcos, that little art town? I forget what it's called.
Lockhart, the one
No.
with the gallery.
It's a small little town. It starts with like a W or something like that. But it's right outside of San Marcos, about 20 minutes.
Green?
No. It'll
Buda?
come to me in a minute. It'll come to me in a
Outside of
minute.
San
But those
Marcos.
are a lot of places that you're familiar with over there that are pretty active in the art
Yeah.
scene.
Buda has a really nice gallery, the Assemblage Gallery. Lockhart's got a really nice gallery, the Commerce Gallery. And there's a bunch of art down there. There's always shows every weekend.
Are you
So
looking to maybe get into some of the galleries down there in that
either the
country?
galleries or the shows, or just start at the shows and see. I've never exhibited in a gallery per se. I'm not sure how all that works. I'm not sure if I want to give up 50% either.
Yeah, for those really prominent galleries, yeah,
Yeah.
it's almost half usually, yeah, that's more like a, if you have a lot of inventory, you kind of give a little bit to the gallery,
Yeah.
you know, and then you keep, you know, as long as they're not some sort of exclusive contract
Right.
where they say, oh, you can only sell through us and you can't sell on your own, where you're exclusive represent.
I wouldn't sign
I wouldn't sign that either.
that.
I wouldn't sign that either. Yeah, I mean, it's you're on a roll right now, so you know, it might be worth taking a look at how you can use the juror's award from the Brownwood show
Yeah.
to leverage some opportunities
Yeah.
to, you know, see if there's something you want to explore. But yeah, for the galleries, I would have a little bit extra inventory to play with, you know, instead of having to, you know, give everything.
Give all your originals to them.
Yeah, that can kind of keep you from. Because then, you know, might get calls from people saying, hey, do you got anything, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you can go to the gallery, you
Yeah.
know? And that's happened to me a few times before, so you gotta have to be a little careful with that. But yeah, that's a nice area out there.
If I could find a place as good as the chicken farm, I mean, this has been great
Yeah, tell me about your experience here. That's a great, I love that you said that.
as far as exposure, you know, that it's been fantastic for us. And it's a fairly big gallery here,
Yeah.
you know, for, I don't know, 450 a month is what we pay. And like I said, we can make 450 a month off of selling prints and canvas prints and stuff. So it pays for itself, and it's automatic exposure.
Because
People,
you get people here from everywhere now.
yeah.
And they've been doing a lot of work with getting promoting the Airbnbs and really developing an experience here. They're starting to draw some folks from other places now.
Yeah,
There's
Chastity and Justin are really ramping this up with the B&B over there. It's a really cool place to stay, and they're talking about putting in a coffee shop over there. And Green Apple Music Series comes out here and puts on fantastic concerts. It's like
Wow.
every band they've had out here is just amazing.
Wow.
And then, of course, the first Saturdays. And my daughter's starting the kids' coop back there.
Oh, is she
And,
doing, is she
yeah,
heading
she's
that up
doing
there?
that.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
great. That's good. We needed something for the kids,
Yeah.
for sure.
She loves doing it.
What type of folks have you met out here that you were surprised that were coming out to the chicken farm?
I wasn't really surprised by anybody. The one thing that does surprise me are the kids that come in, because they'll be, you know, 8, 10 years old, and some of them will really pore over the art. It's like, that's so cool. And they'll be afraid. And I say, it's okay, you can touch it. It's acrylic, you're not going to hurt it. One little girl came up and got I think it's a print of the butterflies that you're talking about. She walked in, and she's kind of had a 10, 11-year-old girl attitude, and just didn't, nothing was going to impress her. And she walked over and saw that, and she just picked it up and hugged it, and tears got in her eyes. And her dad was like, wow. I said, yeah, that looks good. And he said, I guess I'm going to buy
Yeah, no
that
kidding.
one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
what a moment. I've had a few of those experiences, and it's really important for, like, you know, all artists to get out there to show the, you know, the kids and aspiring artists, like,
Yeah.
oh, we've got good talent here.
Yeah.
We've got people that actually make interesting things, you know,
Yeah.
not just pictures that we find at Walmart or something.
And it still amazes me that people love original art. They're drawn to it, and they like something that somebody made. It's really nice that people still like that.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, mass produced.
Right. It's all done by hand,
Yeah.
you know, or by the artist.
I had a lady one day, I was painting a fairly big canvas over here during First Saturday and just roughing it out, putting the colors down, and it was had a few colors on it. And she said, I've always wanted to paint. I said, well, go ahead and paint. And she goes, on yours? I said, yeah, I need some orange. I need some orange right here and some red over here. And so she picked up a brush and started painting. I said, yeah, you know, the lines are already drawn, so just do it however you want to. And she really enjoyed that. She's still talked about
Yeah,
it.
that's what an experience. So yeah, I guess the chicken farm has really been kind of having a big influence
Yeah.
on people getting to know your artwork and you as an artist,
Yeah.
you know. How often are you out here at the chicken farm?
Every Saturday we're open from, I don't know, 10 to 5 or 12 to 5. If I'm not here, my wife is here, and because she knows how to take the money. But usually every Saturday we're open, sometimes Fridays, and then of course every first Saturday.
How's it been in terms of the traffic, you know, ever for the, like maybe early January last year to the end of the year? What was it like?
During January, February, March is a little better, but January, February are kind of dead months.
Mm-hmm. Is that how it's been this year too?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a first Saturday in January.
Oh, because it was the weather was so crazy.
Cold and, yeah. and
everybody would have been miserable.
December is when it really ramps up, you know, selling for Christmas crowd and
it was busy.
We were out here quite a bit in December for different programs.
November too.
Uh huh. November at right around Thanksgiving they have the 2 or 3 day thing. Mm-hmm. And have quite a lot of people come through. Mm-hmm. It's
to do their shopping.
Yeah, it's cool when they stay at the B&B because then they just kind of hang out, you know, and get to talk to a lot of people. It's not really a great place to for a studio for me because people are always in.
Right, you can't focus on your work.
Yeah, you can't focus.
Now that you kind of have. This kind of presence here. You said you were thinking about moving to the Hill Country.
Yeah.
Are you thinking maybe sticking it out for most of this year? Or I think maybe halfway through this year you might be.
Yeah, we just have to wait and see. I'd love to keep the studio open.
Sure.
But then, you know, we'd have to drive 3 hours every Saturday to come over here. So we just have to see how it works out.
Yeah. You could hire a representative.
Yeah.
Hire a student to.
Well, that's true. Hire a student. Yeah, if my daughter wasn't running the coop mm-hmm. over there, she could do it. But, I didn't think about hiring a student. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you got somebody out here, or you can even do a co-op if Justin and Chastity would let you.
Yeah, they don't, well, like when Jeremy came in, they don't mind us subletting half mm-hmm. of this out. They don't care. As long as they get the rent they ask for, they don't care what goes on inside, as long as you don't tear it up.
That's good. Yeah, they've been really accommodating with the artists, and they've done a good job of getting the chicken farm to the next.
Yeah.
You know.
And I hope more people will. They've still got some studios open. I hope they get a few more artists out here.
Yeah.
They got the girl that makes hats moved in over here.
Yeah, I saw that.
She makes some cool hats. And Brie and Bloom, I believe, mm-hmm. is going down to
Textiles. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw her. She's an Art Alliance member.
Yeah.
I think she is anyway. She comes to the meeting sometimes. We're getting an event together. It's like a artist mixer, you know, where we just come out, hang out, and
yeah.
You know, kind of like an after hours, business after hours sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting something like that together. We might do it here in the chicken farm here in a month or two.
Cool.
So we'll invite all the local artists to come hang out. We'll have, you know, some drinks and finger foods and just hang out.
That'd be great.
Have some music or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're thinking about getting that together, but chicken farm would be one of the places that I'd want to do that.
Yeah.
Because that sort of vibe of all the artists being here, and you got, you know, just a really inspiring environment to kind mm-hmm. of hang out and walk around and check out the studios.
And there's really eclectic mix of people out here.
Yeah, there was a. I think the bartenders here in town in San Angelo used to do something very similar. Like, all the bartenders in town would get together, and then they would have a brunch on a Sunday.
Huh.
They'd go pick a place and they'd have a brunch together.
Cool.
And I was like, that's so wild. I didn't even know the bartenders would even hang out like that. So artists have to have that too. I know the Pass a Luncheon. They do something, I think, once a week, the plein air artists of San Angelo.
Yeah.
But I would like to see something that's, you know, for all the local artists to come and we all hang out for a little bit, eat, you know, have some drinks.
Talk shop.
Yeah. You know, and that's it, really. That's it. There's nothing else. I wanted to separate that from the normal Art Alliance meeting.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be the mixer.
Yeah. We're not here to learn anything.
No,
we're just here to talk.
Hey, we might learn something.
Yeah, and hopefully that's where you learn stuff.
Yeah.
It's like when I saw you down at the by the art museum when you had your tent up out there. You turned us on to the prints, these canvas prints.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they're so much better than the ones we were getting.
Oh, really? So yeah. You started trying out the CG Pro prints?
Yes. Yeah.
You liked them?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was the pricing? Was it better?
It's a little more expensive, but I think it's worth it.
The quality. You
know? Yeah, the quality.
Yeah.
They come with backings on them, and they're a little thicker.
I just did one that was somebody ordered for Christmas, was a floating frame print, and I hadn't done one before, ever. And so I ordered it. Man, did it turn out nice.
Yeah.
I took it to her, and she was like, wow, this is great. And I even embellished it, you know, because it's a canvas, but it's got the floating frame around it.
Right.
So I've been with them for many years, and they've never messed anything up.
Yeah.
And the boxes they send it in.
I know.
I'm like, I'll pack it up in that, deliver it to the client, you know, with the plastic and everything. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I'm glad you tried it out and that you like them.
It worked out well. And we've got a really good photographer, Melissa. Once I finish an original, I'll take it over to her before I do anything, and she takes a really good picture of it. She's really anal about trying to get all the colors exact, and we use her for paper prints, and then we ship off for the
She's cast. Got a business here in town?
Uh-huh.
What's her business? Do you remember the name?
I don't. Well,
you can send it to me later.
I'll
put it in the show notes.
She actually has another business. She sells that freeze-dried fruit.
Okay.
And she's the one with the trailer out here. And she's making a lot of money doing that.
Really?
But she's a really good photographer and been doing it for years.
I'll get that information from you.
Yeah.
About her. I think a lot of artists would want to know.
Yeah.
You know, how to get better quality photos of their work.
Yeah.
And that's a labor for sure that you have to be very diligent about.
Yeah. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
James Hoidle.
Uh-huh.
Called me and asked who we used, and we sent him over to her, and he loves her, and he said she does great work.
Cool. Well, she's probably gonna get some more work.
yeah, and she'll love it. She's
that's
really
good.
Go get her.
That's good. One last question before I was gonna ask if we could just kind of walk around. I'll get a little bit of video of you talking about some of your work that you're here. But there was one thing I wanted you to talk about, and it was the skeletons. For folks that probably have seen your work, they see a lot of the skeletons in your paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just explain what that is and where that comes from?
The original idea was of me and a buddy that hung out for quite a bit, for 20 years or so.
Was he in the fire department?
He was in the fire department. Okay. And he passed away, so if I was going to do anything with him and I, it was going to be skeletons. And that's just how that came about, you know, started drawing skeletons.
The story about the truck.
Oh, yeah, the old 58 Chevrolet Apache. Yeah, I wish that was the truck it was. It was actually a 97 Dodge. But we were topping the hill going into Del Rio, headed towards Mexico, one night about midnight, and he tells me to stop the truck. Stop the truck! Stop it now! And I think he's having a heart attack or something. And so I stopped the truck, and he said, turn the radio up, and we had to open both doors, and the song Shout. You know, you make me want to shout. That was on the radio. So we had to get out and dance around the truck to the whole song. You know, get down, lay on the pavement, and did all the dancing. Got back in the truck and shut the doors, and he said, that was refreshing.
So that's where the painting is from?
That's where the painting's from, yeah.
Wow. Sounds like a really cool guy.
And a buddy, the Twister, buddy had a birthday party in Crosby's in downtown Cunha. So we busted in one day with a mariachi band and a Twister game and pulled the chairs back and played Twister on the bar floor.
Wow. Yeah, you know, your paintings are iconic, Keith. They're very iconic.
If you have something that meant something to you and you paint it, I think you're more invested in it.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was asking me what I was going to talk to you about. I said, I don't know. But one thing I wanted to talk about was the most impressive piece of art I'd ever seen.
Okay.
And it was more of a performance than art.
Okay.
When the Tibetan monks came down to the art museum,
mm-hmm.
and they did it twice, but they made those mandalas, the sand mandalas.
Oh, yeah.
And they were huge. They were probably, I don't know, 6x6, 8x8. And they did it. It took them a week or so to do it. And they would have these little cones with colored sand in them. And they would, you know, one grain of sand at a time would come out and made this intricate mandala that was just gorgeous, just beautiful. And then at the end of it, they take it out and walk it down, you know, very respectfully and dump it in the river. And that was the art. It's the transient nature of things. And that's kind of the way I feel about paintings that I've done. It's, you know, they're hanging on the wall, they look cool, but it's like a photograph in time. You know, it's just not, it doesn't, it's transient. It's a cool thing to look at, and it's great when people see it for the first time. But for me, I'm not really invested in inventory. I like making things. And once it's done, it's done. It's more process, not product.
Right. Yeah. So what you admired about the monks was the commitment to the process,
right,
and not caring about the end result.
Right.
So much so that they dumped it in the river.
And they were really caring about the end result. They were really meticulous about it.
Right. But not what came after.
What came after doesn't matter. You know, it's like it's just transient.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that sort of mentality is what allows you to, I mean, I understand what you mean from an artist's perspective, but when you're in your non-artist, you are looking at an end result.
Yes.
And to that person, it seems like forever that that piece will be in their lives and decide to buy it.
Right.
But what you're saying is that because you focus more in the moment of the process and the painting, you are able to put more of yourself in and your skills into that painting, honestly, without thinking about who it's going to go to or how much it's going to sell for.
Yeah.
But in doing that, you are able to create something that does make people feel something strong
and that's
about the painting.
That's the cool part about it, when somebody walks in and says, it's kind of cool. I forgot about that one, you know.
Do you think if the monks would have said, hey, anybody want this, you would have raised your hand?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I'll take it. I don't know how to get all that sand to stay on there, but yes, I'll take it.
Yeah, because you watched it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was so neat. I even took my kids out of school during the middle of the school day. I said, you got to come see this.
Really?
I went to the school and said, these kids got to see this.
Wow, what did they think?
They loved it. They thought it was really cool.
Yeah. There was one guy that came to the museum. This was back in 2011. 2012, he was blind. He did this beautiful, beautiful, big paintings. Blind.
Wow.
The crazy part is that they actually looked intentional. It wasn't an abstract painting. They were almost geometric.
Huh.
The way that he painted. And I was like, how does he do that blind?
He was completely blind.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But, you know, I imagine that somebody tells him, hey, that's red.
Yeah.
That's yellow.
Yeah.
You know, but aside from that, it's, you know, whatever's in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, whatever he feels on the canvas. But it had an order to it. It was really wild to see
that. I don't see how they do that, because how do you know, once you take your brush off and you dip it in paint, how do you know where you were?
The only answer to that question is if you were blind, you'd probably understand.
Know. Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Oh, God.
So yeah, that's great. The museum does some really interesting shows. Did you do the 5x7?
Yes, show? Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we were just walked in, and a friend of mine that we went to school with was walking out with my two paintings, and she goes, "I got yours." I said, oh my gosh, I didn't even get to see it on the wall.
Oh wow, that's great.
It was a good show.
Yeah, museums does some good work. They have some good shows. I like that they're doing more community work. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Not that I know of.
That was a good one, by the way. That was a good one. The thing about the mandala, the process of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad we got that on audio, because that's going to be something that I think people can refer back to. It's the creative process is such a it's a big question mark for a lot of people, especially when you start the art business part.
Yeah.
It starts to be about the money, and it starts to be about, you know, who bought this and who bought what and when it's going to sell. And it definitely interferes with making.
Yeah, I'm really lucky in that respect that we have enough to eat on, uh-huh. and don't have to worry about that. Right. So I don't have to sell anything. If I do, it's a great day.
Would your advice to young artists be get a day job so that you can work on your art the way you want to?
Yes, yeah. I would. The fire department was fantastic because mm-hmm. you know I didn't get rich but made enough to live on. And it's still got a pension out of that. Yes, I would get a day job so you don't have to sacrifice your creative process mm-hmm. for money. Mm-hmm. We're all prostitutes in one way or another, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. that you don't have to do it there if you mm-hmm. don't want to. Mm-hmm. And the best advice I give anybody, any kid that comes in and wants a class, or I'm not a teacher, is just do it. Just sit down and do it. Mm-hmm. And you know what you can do and what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's all process. Just sit down and do it.
Yeah. Enjoy the, get lost in the process.
Yeah.
Don't
worry about the outcome.
Yeah.
You do worry about the outcome a little bit. You know, sure. You back off and look at it.
Yes.
How can I change that?
And right.
That doesn't look right. But just the process.
Right. So you're, I just wanted to mention your, do you have one of your business cards here?
Yeah.
I was going to mention your website so that folks can go find it.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, you're a great writer. I went over your blog.
Oh, yeah.
That you have, and you got some good posts there. The ones that you've written, you're just a very creative writer. I would urge everybody to go check out his blog. It's at tresdeuceart.com. And then your Instagram is tressdeuce58, but I would encourage folks to go check it out. Got a good blog.
I would love to be a writer, but it's that's another long process. But crafting a sentence or crafting a paragraph is just like making a painting. You got to write it down real rough, get crazy with it, and then figure out how you can fix that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, cool. Well, thanks, Keith. Appreciate you letting me sit with you in your
studio.
Well,
thanks for coming in. Yeah. I hope I didn't come off sounding like Jed Clampett. But
I think he sounded great. He sounded like Keith Stinnett to me.
Okay, good.